news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
If you're listening on your car radio right now, we've got to tell you, fog is certainly an issue out there. Get started earlier if you can, if you've got a commute and where you're not in a big rush. And that way, if an accident happens or something pops up in front of you that you were not seeing, you'll be able to avoid it. But that fog is a problem out there this morning. It's kind of our headline of the day.
Yeah, I got to tell you, there's some things I don't like about waking up early in the morning to get here at the time I do. But one of the things I do like is when it's foggy like it is today, I'd much rather travel around town at 4:30 in the morning than 7:30, 8 o'clock.
And
I don't have to go across the Bayway. So I know a lot of you out there that make that trip every day can't be fun when there's fog that's reducing the visibility like it did this morning.
So fog, you know, you could project there's going to be accidents out there because of the fog. I know that I started early on with my time on country radio here in Mobile. You could tell when there were storms moving from west to east, maybe overnight, or there was going to be severe storms that morning, you almost knew there was going to be a pile of pile-ups all over the place. You could predict it. You would say, you know what? A lot of our show today is going to be about traffic.
Yeah.
And so we're getting into that time of year, by the way, where you have those severe storms that cross from west to east, and it can get kind of crazy. And if it's happening in the morning time, we'll have to be on our guard.
Yeah, and it'd be nice to have maybe another bridge.
Oh,
that went across the bay during this time. I know Sean, so when that big accident that involved, what, like 140 vehicles in Fort Worth?
When it started icing up.
Yep. And Sean was talking about an accident years ago on the Bayway, and that was because of fog, right?
An accident that was so bad, if I can remember. Now, I know that when the passenger train derailed that morning, I was watching national news on my show in Columbus, Georgia, and it was the number one story. The train derailing up in above Chickasaw. And I think if it wasn't the number one national story that morning, it was one of the stories that they went to immediately. Like, this is a breaking story out of Mobile, Alabama, this incredible pileup on the Bayway. So, yes, there's been a couple of times when we made the national news for all the wrong reasons.
And, yeah.
One of those was... Sean Sullivan's got more on it right now. Breaking news. Sean is in here. But it was a bad pileup. And I remember I didn't live in Mobile at the time, and I didn't know much about Mobile, but I was like, that doesn't look good. Sean, good morning.
Hey, good morning. No, so you're talking about two things. So the train derailment at Bioconnot, Sunset Limited, that story. But yeah, the car pileup, 100. And it's, I don't know why it should matter that it's 99 or 102, but it was 100 vehicles pile up on the Bayway in the fog. And
that was fog then?
Fog, yeah. It was fog. And
the early 90s?
Have all those fog. It's funny, we have all the fog signs now there. So you're approaching fog. By that point, you see the signs. I mean, what are you going to be on the Bayway.
But yeah,
it was a fog situation, pile up. And
early 90s?
One or two fatalities. I don't have them just standing here without any notes, but one or two fatalities and probably 30 or 40 injuries on that. And that was a big story. But yeah, that story from out in Fort Worth just reminded me of it a couple weeks ago.
And that was worse because, it was worse on a number of levels, but in the middle of freezing cold, can you imagine being in an accident and then you're injured? And then people can't get to you, and your car no longer is operating, and you're freezing.
Yeah.
That was what was going on in Fort Worth with all that ice and emergency vehicles trying to get to people.
Yeah.
I don't even know how they go about. I don't know how they get to the accident and to the victims like that, even on the Bayway.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had those, it's a benefit of, what some people use as a gravel passing lane, which drives me crazy, but the shoulders of...
the passing lane.
Yeah, when people pass you on the left or on the right, I've had it. By the way, I had a moment of zen one time. We were backed up on I-10 westbound, and I was coming back from down the Gulf Shore somewhere, and we were Malbus. I'm backed up just sitting there, and people started passing on the right in the gravel on the shoulder. they didn't realize there happened to be a Baldwin County Sheriff's Officer about seven vehicles up. And I watched the first one, and it never works out this way. It did that day. I'm sitting there in the FM Talk 106.5 van, and whoop, lights come on.
Good.
And I was like, and people were cheering in their cars for it. It was a fantastic moment.
Yeah, yeah, get him.
Yeah, I mean, finally, some justice served.
That's awesome. Hey, while we have you in here, I got to... got to read this poll to you, okay? Now that Sean's in here, I definitely want Dan's take on this.
Sure.
And I want to hear from anyone who's listening on the text line or give us a call, 343-0106. So we do these polls all the time, or we read about these polls, and, you know, you always need to look at who performed the polling, and maybe it's been done on behalf of a certain website who could possibly benefit from that polling. Mm-hmm. So Trivago, site where you buy travel tickets, whatever, hotels. They polled a lot of people and asked them about, get this, traveling.
You don't say.
Post-pandemic travel. And 80% of the people they polled said travel is part of a well-rounded life. Okay, that's a pretty standard number, I'd say. But then they asked, what would you give up in order to take a trip in the near future? Now, apparently, these people aren't like me. I still took a trip or two during the pandemic. These are people who are scared to leave their homes.
What they would trade.
What they would trade to take this trip, okay? So 48% said they would give up their job in order to travel.
You travel enough, that'll be done for you.
Yeah, it will.
If I just left right now for Rome, Georgia.
Right, you can travel back, and also not have a job.
Exactly.
One in five said they would dump their partner if it meant they could take a trip in the near future.
I am shocked the number is that low.
Well, yeah, especially after living with them for a year.
Right, I thought it would
not
be
leaving the house.
Like 4 out of 5.
A quarter said they would give up all their savings. Now, in America, many people don't have savings.
Right, so a quarter $17, I'll go ahead and let that fly.
Yeah. That sounds like a deal, but this is the number I can't get off of here. 38% said they would give up adult fun time for an entire year if they were allowed to travel. Just take a trip. 38%.
Okay. 38%
they
would trade.
At the age of 30 for Dalton, it's unthinkable.
Right. Horizontal grown-up fun time trade for, you know, because for a lot of people, you got to give me the ages of the people surveyed, because at a certain age, that would pretty much not be.
It's not really
not a tough bargain. Sign me up. Let's get the plane tickets and go.
Yeah. They didn't put what the age is here. They saw
that's the best deal you could make.
Said they talked to 2,000 adults in the U.S. and the U.K. Now, I did see
throw me in that briar patch.
One person commented on this yesterday. My wife must be planning a heck of a trip. Like, she's got a huge trip planned because
she's been saving up for years. Yeah. She's given up for.
But Mark, did you have a comment?
That's a problem. So
what would y'all trade? 38%.
38% said they would give that up for a year.
I mean, grown-up fun time for a year, maybe you go to Biloxi?
You want to leverage that with Paris or something like that, right?
Yeah, be a plane and some touring around.
Must be like the trip of your dreams, they're asking them here. So I don't know.
Make the girl of your dreams then.
Yeah, maybe that's a part of it. So I don't know. What's your take on the text line? 343-0106. 38% said they would give that up.
I found it curious this past summer that my wife sent me on a trip to the West as a gift during a pandemic.
Yeah.
And I got a chance to get on a plane and go through an airport, several of them, on the way there, on the way back. No comments, please.
I'm taking my comment back to my office.
We're looking at the text line right now. We'll review that. Also, your phone calls at 343-0106. Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig, and the show is Mobile Mornings. And thank you to Sean Sullivan for dropping in. By the way, we get to what text line is really humming now. That's an accident on the Bayway, 1995. 104 cars and one fatality.
Oof.
Is what they say on the text line. So there we go. 15 after 8 o'clock. More of what you've got to say on the way on FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5. It's 8:21. Jeff Poor, live at CPAC, my man, in the middle of it all on Radio Row in Orlando.
Yeah, he's got, believe it or not, guests coming up on the show today.
Got guests milling around him the whole time down there.
Yeah.
Is that going to be a super spreader down there?
Great question.
What precautions? I'm sure they've got precautions.
He said everyone was wearing their mask down there, and I think it's probably a limited crowd compared to what they're used to seeing at CPAC.
Yeah.
But coming up on today's show, Jeff will talk with the New Journey PAC's Autry Pruitt. Also, Congressman Mo Brooks coming on in the first hour. I'm sure he'll have a lot to say.
You might have to talk to him by phone because Pelosi had him up in Washington kind of in overtime.
Yeah.
Keeping the kids in school, as they say.
Yeah, Jeff yesterday was basically, you know, implying that Pelosi was keeping them up there on purpose to keep them from CPAC. And then CPAC. He said, yeah, actually, I don't know if CPAC's actually on
her
Pelosi's radar.
Yeah.
He'll also talk with Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn.
She's a good guest.
Yeah, that'll be really good.
Good
also, Jerome Hudson from Breitbart News, and then wrap it up with a local state senator, Chris Elliott, on the Jeff Poor Show today. So he'll be live from CPAC, and you don't want to miss that at all.
Chris Elliott is a Friday 11:30 guest most weeks.
So there you go. Mo Brooks will be on today, and the reason he is not at CPAC is he's in D.C., like you said, and the House today plans to vote on that $1.9 trillion emergency aid package. Now, I think most people are wondering about the stimulus checks that will go out to a lot of Americans, like they have these first two stimulus bills, and that number really hasn't changed, $1,400 per person. It's for individuals that make less than $75,000 annually and for couples that make less than $150,000 annually.
Okay, 70 together, 150.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and then after that, it kind of decreases the further up your salary is. So $1,400 per adult and $1,400 per dependent. So like a family of four would possibly get $5,600 from this. They're also increasing the child credit in taxes. Mm-hmm. More money will be in your pocket for that. And we had a caller earlier who mentioned this, and this was talked about yesterday as well. Part of the stimulus bill is the money that will possibly go to federal employees whose kids are out of school. Now, down here, there aren't many parents in Alabama whose kids aren't in school. Of course, you still have that option to do virtual schooling, but I think for the most part, Alabama's had kids in school since the beginning of the fall semester. It's funded.
Yeah, Mobile delayed a little bit, remember? The delay was, and then they put them in there in a staggered way, but otherwise everybody was pretty much in school.
Yeah, so buried on page 305 of the House bill. And I think somebody was texting yesterday and said, you know, you need to read this entire CARES Act. The bill is like 1,000 pages long.
Yeah, no thank you.
So on page 305, class, go to page 305, there's a Treasury Department fund called the Emergency Federal Employee Leave Fund. And $570 million in the new fund would be available through September 30th. Federal employees caring for others due to COVID-19 are eligible for paid leave. Among those who are eligible are those who are, quote, unable to work because they're caring for school-age children not physically in school full-time due to COVID-19. Remember, as Biden has kind of changed his and moved his goalposts for the goal of getting kids back into school, he started with pretty high, saying he wants the children in school 5 days a week. Then he said, oh, I'm actually talking about K-8. And then he said, actually, 2 days a week will do, or 1 day a week, and the rest in virtual schooling. So if they aren't in school full-time and this bill passes the way it does, then these people would be eligible. It allows a federal employee caring for a son or daughter to qualify for paid leave. And that paid leave could be worth as much as $35 an hour, up to $1,400 a week, 15 weeks for a 40-hour employee, and before you're long, you're looking at $21,000 per person who fits that category.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
That's outrageous.
Don't know how many federal employees would possibly be paid $21,000 through this, but look at the money that will be paid out to.
The qualifying is you're a federal employee.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be home with your child because your child's not in school.
Child or caring for someone else.
And you've got.
Because of COVID-19.
And you're doing that full time, so you can't be on the job.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is there. You're just not at your job.
Right.
So you're a federal employee. You've abandoned your job. Well, maybe you're forced to. That's
right.
A little rough. But
yeah.
You're not doing your job. You're not on the job because you've got to be caring for somebody in this age of COVID. Could be a school-age child. Could be somebody else. And you're going to receive that much money?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. It also says for federal employees who have their kids in private schools that are open, they would not be paid. But $21,000 would almost be enough to say, oh yeah, my kid's at home. I'm taking care of the kids. So that's just part of how much spending will go out from this bill yesterday.
Well, $1.9 trillion is a lot.
Yeah, I'd say it's a lot of money. It's we've kind of become numb to those numbers, right?
I agree.
$1.9 trillion, and that's after already spending trillions on relief previously. So yesterday, I would say this was a pretty big win for Republicans. Elizabeth McDonough, who is the Senate parliamentarian, that's the chamber's nonpartisan arbiter of rules, she basically said the way that Democrats are trying to pass this $1.9 trillion bill by not getting a Senate majority or by not getting 60 votes, they want to just use the Democrat votes to vote it through, that if that's the route they go, they will not be allowed to include President Biden's $15 an hour minimum wage in that bill. Now, Nancy Pelosi, after McDonough came out with that ruling yesterday, she said it was disappointing, and she said the minimum wage provision will remain in the bill the House will vote on today. So even if that passes, which it likely will because the Democrats have the edge in the House, when it makes it to the Senate, according to the parliamentarian, they will not be able to include that in their bill. They would have to pass it in some future legislation,
right?
Possibly the upcoming infrastructure bill, which will be in the trillions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So this isn't the last of the trillions of dollars we'll be spending. But even if she hadn't made that ruling, it was looking like it might be a tough sell because two Democratic senators, Joe Manchin from West Virginia and Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona, they had already said they're opposed to the $15 an hour minimum wage. And then if those two were opposed and they only needed 50 votes, they were looking at possibly some of the more moderate Republicans jumping to their side. And I think most, if not all, of the moderate Republicans said, yeah, they're not in on the minimum wage raise either.
They'd have to recruit the Republicans over. And you're right. We've talked about this for months now. Manchin and other moderate Democrats are really – they've got a lot of power right now.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of power for things to happen and in some cases for things to not happen. I'm looking at the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. That was the original CARES Act.
Mm-hmm.
$2.2 trillion back then, that was passed. Remember how quickly that was all passed.
Mm-hmm.
Coronavirus was a thing by March 13th. The act was passed and signed into law by President Trump on March 27th. That was quick.
Almost a year ago. Wow.
Almost a year ago, and just 2 weeks into this emergency, but it was projected that we were going to be with hard times for a long time, and $2.2 trillion in economic stimulus is what that package was made up.
I had forgotten. So that first one was huge to start with.
Bigger than I thought.
$2.2 trillion.
Yeah.
Then the second one, remember, there was a lot of wrangling over that.
Right.
And they kind of met in the middle there, and it almost looked like the Republicans were willing to meet in the middle, some of the Republicans, on this minimum wage thing. I think I saw Mitt Romney and Tom Cotton were saying, how about $11 an hour mm-hmm. for federal minimum wage? Now I wonder if the Republicans will kind of pull that back, pull that offer from the table now that the Senate rules arbiter has said that they can't include that in this bill. I do think the federal minimum wage will rise and possibly in a ruling this year, but it's looking more and more unlikely that it'll be the $15 an hour.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for small businesses, that is probably very good news.
Mm-hmm.
Got these businesses just hanging on, waiting for better days and waiting for public confidence in going back to, for instance, dining inside,
mm-hmm.
right? One of the most glaring parts of our economy that has taken such a hit during this pandemic. Much has, but they've really taken it on the chin for sure. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Turning Up Your Voice at 343-0106. Feel free to give us a call.
Six FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Let's talk with Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. Good Friday morning.
Yeah, it is. And the last weekend of February, you've had some great deals this month, and they could be going away very soon.
That's right. They're going away Sunday night, but we're not going to be open Sunday, so y'all have to be here on Saturday.
Mm.
We're going to have some country cooking Saturday. We're going to have a lady from up in the country who's going to bring us some chicken pot pies and some chicken and dumplings. We're going to have it good around here. Hopefully, this fog will burn off. It'll be a nice day, and we're going to sell some cars. We got a few more to sell on this used car side to hit the bogey Mitch put up, and I think we're going to do that. We got the inventory to do it, and we don't forget about those Buicks with the money and that great 0%. I mean, you know, it's free money, and they're giving you money. I mean, what do you do? I mean, you go come buy a Buick.
Yeah, you can't beat that. And you also have some really nice trucks on the lot.
Oh, we've got some great deals on some X31s. Got a few Denali 3/4 tons in yesterday. You know, those are kind of a hot commodity right now with the diesel motor. And they're looking sharp on the new car side. But like I said, we're going to be focused a little bit on the used cars. Y'all can check all those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. If you got any questions, please give Gene and I a call, 251-476-4141. And everybody be safe and careful out there this weekend and have fun.
All right. You too, Louis. We appreciate it. That's Louis Ratta. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
838 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton talking economy. We got word of a couple of local employers. They've got places in town with some big news. Costco, first of all, they are going to independently go ahead and raise their minimum wage to $16 an hour.
Right. Yeah. So, and Hal texted in earlier. He said, you are aware that Florida raised their minimum wage to $15 an hour. Yeah. Very aware with that. And, you know, Florida doesn't have the same economy expenditures that we do here. I think, you know, certain parts of Florida, of course, the panhandle, very similar to a lot of Alabama. But
right.
You get down into Miami, you know, Orlando, some of those larger cities, and $15 won't buy you the same thing that it'll buy you in Grove Hill, Alabama.
There's no doubt about
instance.
That.
But it does look like some of these major stores across the country are raising the minimum wage on their own and making it, you know, a competitive market for hiring employees. And Costco is just the latest. I don't know if they were trying to get ahead of the federal minimum wage, but they announced that starting next week, the minimum wage at Costco will start at $16 an hour. Mm. And that's higher than Target and Amazon, who also recently raise their minimum wage. At Target, it'll be $15 an hour. That started in July of 2020. And Amazon, they raised their wage to $15 an hour back in 2018. Meanwhile, Walmart, their starting wage is at $11 per hour.
So, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just saying, and you know, a lot of people take advantage of the federal minimum wage, and I'm sure pay their employees exactly as low as they are able to. But when you have businesses that are as widespread and that hire as many people as the Walmarts and Targets, Costco, then it's becomes really competitive. And unless you want, you know, the worst of the worst employees, you have to kind of bump up your wage to kind of match them as well. So, I really think that this federal minimum wage thing, even if it does jump up to $10 or $11 an hour federally, sure, that'll hurt many businesses that are paying their employees less than that. But I just think the $15 an hour may have been a bridge too far for a lot of different employers.
I agree.
Maybe not necessarily in New York City or San Francisco or Miami, but you start looking at a lot of these smaller, more rural towns around, and that would be a major hit.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah,
it's a lot of money for independent, locally owned restaurants, for sure.
And you mentioned Best Buy.
Yeah.
They, at the same time that Costco's making this announcement, Best Buy said yesterday they've laid off 5,000 workers this month, and they're going to close more stores in the coming future. And it's probably because Amazon is doing so well, and Best Buy and Walmart and so many of these stores have had to move online and direct so much of their attention and their money to online sales. And that's what people have been doing, especially over the course of the pandemic, is buying things online. Best Buy said they expect 40% of their sales to come from online purchases this year. That's up from 19% 2 years ago. It's doubled in 2 years. And because of that, they don't need all the employees that are out at the stores and laying a lot of them off.
That is too bad. Best Buy was very cautious when this pandemic started, like going to Best Buy and everything. It was they were really careful.
Yeah.
We were shopping for my wife's computer at that time. I think it was in May. And you had to make an appointment to go to Best Buy. They were very, very, very cautious. Just checked with a friend of mine who is Best Buy. He said he's doing fine. He's doing okay. Thanks for asking. Good. That's somebody I know. But that is definitely a place that you could see it from the beginning of the pandemic that, man, they're really taking a hit.
A few texts on the text line. King of all unnamed texter said, meanwhile, cops still don't get paid enough. And that is as true as you can get right now. I mean, we've had, what, 5 police chases since Monday in our area? And I agree with that completely, King of all unnamed texters. I don't know. I know that there are some great, great people out there, but it takes a strong person to want to be a police officer in this time and age.
No doubt.
Eric said not only that, but they raised the minimum wage at some of these businesses, but they lower your hours per week. So they essentially pay the same, but you get fewer hours.
Mm.
I'm sure that's true also.
Yep.
And Eric said, so it doesn't really help people.
Now they got to make the math work somehow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so where are all the conservative views this weekend? They're down in Orlando. Jeff Poore's down there with CPAC going on in Orlando this weekend. And, of course, some of the big headliners are going to be speaking, including former President Donald Trump. Sunday, his first public remarks in some time. Mark Meadows was on Fox last night and gave us a hint as to what we might hear.
I spoke to President Trump last night for a fairly lengthy conversation where we're talking about America, where it needs to go, continuing the America First agenda. But what we will see on Sunday is we will see the start of planning for the next administration. And I can tell you, the people that are at the top of that list, all of them have Trump as their last name.
Hmm. How about that?
All of them have Trump as their last
name. He almost gave away the answer without giving away the answer completely.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting times down in Orlando today, Saturday, and Sunday.
And Jeff is down there. Jeff Poore. We'll hear from him. His show begins at 9 o'clock. And I saw this morning video from CPAC. And they were rolling in a golden, almost Buddha-like statue of Trump through the CPAC halls.
Really?
Very interesting. Not sure how I feel about it. Actually, I do know how I feel about it. There's already a problem with, you know, treating, you know, public politicians, even athletes, as if they're gods.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you love Trump and what he did over the last 4 years, I still have a problem with treating him like he's some sort of god. And that's kind of, I think, where we get when we start rolling in golden statues of the man before the speech on Sunday. You know, I like a lot of his policies. I like a lot of the things he did over the last 4 years. But looking at a golden statue being wheeled in, that kind of shows you what the plan is for the next 4 years and what Mark Meadows said there. I mean, if CPAC, which is the conservative committee, not just Trump supporters,
right,
not just never Trumpers, but conservatives, and they're rolling in the golden statue of Trump. I think that kind of tells you what the plans are for the GOP at large for these next 4 years. And, you know, I don't really have a problem with them putting Trump out there as the main nominee. I kind of figured that was coming. And I think we will see the start of an extended, nearly 4-year-long campaign come Sunday once Trump takes the stage.
He's not getting any younger, so let's keep that in mind, too. You know, this is not a guy in his mid-50s. He's 73, maybe? It'll be important for him to hang in there physically and be able to do what he wants to do. If there's a compromise, Donald Trump, between now and Election Day, you know, like Joe Biden, certainly a compromise Joe Biden, that would be interesting, right?
But that makes what Meadows said there even more interesting, because Meadows is a man who we've heard has presidential aspirations of his own,
right?
That he might possibly try to get on the ticket. But he said all of them have Trump as their last name, so maybe a
Donald Jr.,
Trump
Laura
Jr.,
Trump.
Laura, Ivanka. Probably not Eric, but I think
that's what he was getting at, though, for sure.
Yeah.
And what was a texter yesterday, we were talking about the vaccine, big-time conservative, saying, no, hell no with the vaccine. I'm not going to do that. And I said, text back to him, this is Donald Trump's doing here. The vaccine, he worked real hard to make sure this happened. Does that have any influence on you one way or the other? And he kind of shot back, I'm offended by that. Do you think that everything that Trump says is the way I would follow? And I texted back, I guess you don't read our text line. Because there's so many on the text line that are, that's what they're all about. They're all about the Donald.
Yeah, no doubt about
and
that.
And their story. It's 847 at FM Talk 106.5. What do we want to do? Do you want to lighten the mood here a little bit?
Yeah, I think we could lighten the mood a little bit when we get back.
Talk about the gender neutral Mr. Potato Head. We got we made it through that story already this morning. 847 FM Talk 106.5, and your text certainly, and your calls 343-0106. You want to get on the show? Let's do it. What's happening, y'all? 852 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. Fog is a problem this morning and has been most of the morning.
Looks like it's starting to lift a little bit.
It is, but just be aware of it and just take your time. Commute-wise here this morning, you might get frustrated. You might be going a little slower than you want to. The traffic itself is moving slower, but it's better than getting into a fender bender because, you know, not even a bad wreck just ruins everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just, poof, man. Okay, got a flag on the play here for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I love a flag on the play.
I got a guy. There's a guy in Ontario, Canada. He called 911 to report a drunk driver.
Okay.
The drunk driver was himself.
Oh, God. And this may be a flag.
He called the cops. I mean, I'm glad. I'm not happy he was being a drunk driver. There was a level of responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, if you measure it out, like you're driving drunk, but he called the cops on himself. They came and got him, and the car was no longer moving.
Mm-hmm.
So he parked the car. They found him, and he was arrested for impaired driving, but at least he alerted the authorities to come get him.
Why would the police be your first call there? Did he not have anyone that could come pick him up? Like, could he not find the number of a cab driver or an Uber? Or I'm just wondering. I mean, I'm glad he stopped himself from driving.
Well, when you're that drunk, his blood alcohol level was 4 times the limit.
Okay.
So you're that blind drunk, you're not thinking clearly.
Mm, clearly.
For sure. Clearly, he was not thinking clearly. And also, a woman in Washington State, now, I was out there in the summertime, and outside of Seattle's a great, beautiful city. You know, politically, we know what's going on out there, but the people are really nice out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the further you get away, like we went and did some camping and went to the national park, and the further you get away from the metropolitan area, it's just people. It's just like, you know, anywhere else would be. But this lady I got to throw a flag on the play here. A woman in Washington State, she's facing charges after she attacked her roommate, okay, with a frying pan.
Oh, boy.
Then a broomstick. Then a knife, then an axe.
And this may be a flag.
She kept upping it. Lady in Washington State, we don't want to control the pace of the game, but we've got no, we have no choice but to throw a flag on your play because of what you did. Again, we're starting with
this may be a flag.
Completely unnecessary.
A frying pan, which can do damage.
Yeah.
A broomstick. Don't want to get into that. Also, a knife and then an axe. Finally, the roommate used a cutting board to defend herself. Luckily, no one was seriously hurt, so she was a little sloppy in her attempt to commit assault.
Okay, I think I'll keep with the theme here. So maybe an international flag on the play.
Sure.
All right, so, you know, when you travel to countries, I think most countries nowadays are testing for COVID-19 before you actually enter their country, like at customs. And that even includes U.S. diplomats going to China. They are testing the diplomats that are assigned to China. But they have not been apparently testing these diplomats using your standard testing form. Whether, you know, they get you to put your head back and then they put the Q-tip all the way back into your brain, swab around a little bit. I think they've gotten better since the beginning of the pandemic.
Did you have one of those tests?
Yeah, I had a couple tests like that. It wasn't as bad as people made it out to be.
Okay.
But thank God I'm not a diplomat in China because apparently Beijing, they used swabs to test these diplomats for COVID-19, but they were initiated rectally.
Hang on.
And Beijing, they told Washington that these butt checks were made, quote, in error. It was an accident, okay? We're sorry that we tested you that way.
So somebody like read the memo wrong?
Yeah,
like he thought a nostril was that?
And these U.S. diplomats were like, I don't know, I guess it sounds right to me.
Okay.
All right, I guess they start unbuckling their belts. The State Department told Vice on Wednesday, the State Department never agreed to this kind of testing and protested directly to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs when we learned some staff were subject to these tests.
Gee whiz.
Washington complained the rather invasive procedure was undignified. You think? The state spokesperson said Beijing had assured Washington the tests were given in error and the diplomats were exempt from the test, which is required for incoming travelers in some parts of China. So
the diplomats still want to do, no, hey, how did I do on the test?
Yeah, so did
still
I.
Still curious for the results.
Am I negative or positive? I mean, you never gave me the result. Oh yeah, you're negative. Why? I mean, how stupid?
Yeah.
You know, I would just get the ride back to America or somewhere else because maybe, is that true? Can they tell if you have COVID by testing via that region? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
No,
that
it doesn't.
That would be the most accurate way to find out if you have COVID.
How was there a mix-up? How was there a mix-up like, okay, now when you test them, you know what you're doing, right, Sal? Yeah, I got it. Well, no, you don't know what you're doing because what it says is to have them lean back, put it in the nostril, and somehow you got it all right. And by the way, thank you very much to Jason, who says flag on the play internationally should be a yellow card.
Yes,
we've got to figure out how to find the yellow card and the whistle blow with the yellow card. If it's an international flag on the play.
I think in this case, you go right to red card. No yellow card. Throw them off the pitch because, I mean, this wasn't a translation error, and they didn't make this an error. This was, I mean, this had to be made totally to demean the U.S. diplomats,
lost,
right?
Lost in translation, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no doubt in my mind that China knew what they were doing. And if, you know...
Thanks for the humiliation in the middle of a pandemic.
The virus coming from Wuhan and them covering the virus up for the longest time wasn't enough for us to maybe look a little bit closer into our relations with China. I think this should be the final straw.
If China was looking into their relations with us.
Deep, deep into their relations with us.
Okay, Jeff Hoare's on the way, and we're just about a minute and a half away from 9 o'clock. Thanks, Dalton. Good show today, man.
Yeah, see everybody on Monday.
FM Talk 106.5. Again, if you want to relive what we've done for all the shows here, just find the podcast, fmtalk1065.com.